Ministries.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in and listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM, right here in Cocoa, Florida. So we want to say thank you today to one of our sponsors, Teresi Auto Sales and Auto Repair, over on Clear Lake Road, just south of Dixon. I just had some work done on my vehicle there just a little over a week ago, and so they took good care of me, and I'm sure that they will do the same thing for you. And so if you need a car, give them a holler, and you can reach them at goodness, I don't have their phone number written down here today. I am so sorry. 636-4910 is one of the numbers that will get you there, and so there's another number as well, but that's on my iPhone, and I left that in my car today. So give them a call. I'll give you their phone number tomorrow if you don't get it from some other source. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 28 today. Isaiah chapter 28. We're going to get into the Word of God today. And verse number 9 is where we're going to begin. There's a I highlight the portions of the chapters that I'm talking about so I can know what to what I feel that will be beneficial for you and I to hear at such a time as this. And chapter 28 just has lots and lots of information that we have covered here. In verse number 9, it says, "Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk, those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest.' And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught." So here in verse number 9, we see that it is God's desire to teach us. It is God's desire to teach us. And I pray that you have an innate desire, an internal desire, something that is driving you to learn as much as you can about God. We were never meant to come to an event in our life and then say, "That's it. I don't have to go any further in this. I can't think of a process that, or a position that you could achieve," and you say, "Okay, I don't have to learn how to do anything." That's actually, whenever you receive a promotion to a level, that means that class has just begun. We are to be taught to pray. We need to be taught God's word. We need to be taught the ways of God. We need to be able to teach others. And so I pray that you would see that God is looking for a people that he can teach. One of the most dangerous positions that you will ever reach in your personality is the day that you reach that place where you say, "I don't need you to teach me anything else." When you and I have reached the position where we are unteachable, that's not a position to boast. That's a position of warning. It says, whoa, wait a minute. I need to have the Holy Spirit check my heart here and see what is going on. It happens with kids who think that they that they know more than their parents. It happens with students in school where students think that they know more than their teachers do. It happens in churches. It can happen on a workplace where an employee thinks that they know more than their boss. And a lot of times we may not have all of the facts. And I want you to know that it says pride comes before a fall. It's not something to boast about. And God says, I'm looking for a people that I can teach. It is going to take him all of eternity. He's going to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, strength to strength. And so we need to constantly be in that learning mode. And I will say this, I've said it before. We have Sunday school at Merritt Assembly of God. We have a grade school class. We have a teenager's class. We have an adult class. We add classes as we need to. We're not looking to build the largest Sunday school. We want to make them the most effective. We've had college or career classes, and so we just, you know, whatever the need arises, we want to teach those kids and teach the adults. And so when I get up there to make announcements, I encourage everyone to come into Sunday school. And I'm walking around and praying before I go to preach on Sunday mornings. And so I hear some of the little kids, Sunday school class, my wife teaches that. And I've told her, I said, honey, you are a phenomenal teacher. And, my office, the teenagers class, it meets right outside, my office door. And, my youth and children's, pastors who are in Guatemala, they have come to me and said, Pastor, the teacher in that Sunday school class, he does a phenomenal job. We have our boys and girls classes, and parents have come to me and said, my daughter is getting so much out of those classes, and are the people who attend our Sunday school class give positive feedback on that, because we need to learn. Listen, if we are in some of the most trying times that I've ever seen in my lifetime, then we need to learn to be the best child of God that we can be. Surely God has something to teach me, and surely God has something to teach you. It's not a matter of whether or not the material is there. It is not a matter of whether or not the motive to teach is there. The motive is who's going to show up for class. I had a person ask me a question a number of years ago, and they said, Pastor, is so-and-so going to be here? It was one of our regular church folks. That they said, are they going to be here at church on Sunday? And I said, I will be honest with you. I said, on Sunday morning, I know who's going to show up when they get here. Now, that's not true of my staff and things like that. But for the people who are in church, you know, you never know if somebody's out of town. You don't know if they have come down with a virus or something that morning. And so I said, I know who's going to show up when they get here. And I pray that when you show up to the house of God, that you show up with the praise of God on your lips, the worship of God in your heart, and you have a desire to learn and say, God, here am I. Teach me today. And God doesn't just teach us for head knowledge. He teaches us in a manner for real life application. And it says, whom will he make to understand the message? And whom will he make to understand the message? Okay. I'm going to make a statement. To me, it's not a controversial statement, because it's a statement of Jesus. But I have had people that I've had this conversation with, told them this statement, and they got quite animated in objecting to the veracity of this statement. You don't have a problem with me, you got a problem with Jesus. And the message is this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, I want you to hear that message one more time. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That message affects everything we are, everything we do, and everything we say. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we come to Jesus and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, those are verses that I learned very early in life, but they impact, they provide focus and direction. Can we get on to all sorts of topics when discussing the Word of God? Yes, we can. But ultimately, it is the message. God loves you. God cares for you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. Jesus died upon the cross so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. What are you going to do with this message? Being good will not get you to heaven. Being intelligent will not get you to heaven. Being rich or famous or powerful will not get you to heaven. Only Jesus. It is that message that when you understand it, you will not moan whenever the offering plate comes by, because you know that you are propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. That whenever a missionary comes, you're not going to moan because another missionary has shown up, but you know that that missionary is going to take the message of salvation to someone who hasn't heard it before, and there's a possibility that they are going to give their heart to Jesus. You see, when you understand there's no other way, and how can they hear unless someone is sent to tell them, then this message. We need to understand the message so that we can propagate the message. If we don't believe what Jesus said, they most assuredly will not believe what Jesus said. And so I want to encourage you today, understand the eternal ramifications of what the Word of God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You go on and read John chapter 3. There's more to it there than verse number 16. It says that until we come and accept Jesus, we are living under the condemnation of a death sentence already. It is us, the Christians, the saints of God, that are bearers of the good news that Jesus came and paid the price for us so that we could be saved and spend an eternity with him. So I want to ask you today, do you understand that message? There, I was in my devotions here a few weeks ago, and I don't remember what translation I was reading. I normally read the New King James Version, but I'd done some research. Somebody had asked about a verse and a different translation, and so I'd gone to my phone, and so I don't know if I changed translations when I researched this, but it said, magnify your ministry. Magnify your ministry. When you hear something like that, what does that mean to you? It means to me, I need to learn to be the best pastor that I can be. I need to be growing in my knowledge of the Word. I need to be growing in the skill sets of being a pastor, of leading a staff. I'm still in the developmental stage. My prayer is that I'm still in the developmental stage until my final breath. And God says, I have fashioned you, I have formed you for exactly the place that I have prepared for you. It is time for you to come home. Understand the message that God has for you. If you don't understand the message that you are trying to convey, you will not convey it with the conviction, the anointing, the power, the persuasion that people need in order to embrace that. So, and whom will he make to understand the message? And then there's this trivial question, those just weaned from the milk, thus just drawn from the breast. In other words, it's a lot of times we want to put the responsibility on the next generation. We want to put the responsibility on anybody other than us. A lot of times I have a practical joker personality. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but whenever I'm having a conversation with somebody, they say, hey, I've got a question for you. A lot of times I'll say, I didn't do it. I have an alibi. But the reality is, a lot of times we are looking for someone else to be responsible, and we need to take that responsibility. Who is it going to be? Our kids that take the gospel to the ends of the earth? Not if they've seen their parents ignore the gospel. The chances are very slim. You see, because our kids, you can have the best teachers in the world, but if there's dysfunction at home, that dysfunction is going to carry weightier influence than the excellence that the teacher might have. And so there needs to be a complementary, in other words, things working together to get that generation, the next generation, to realize the urgency of the hour. A couple of Sundays ago, I preached a message that said, walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. That was in Colossians 4. Ephesians 5 says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. There are doors of ministry that were open that have now closed. There are doors that were closed that are now open but are closing again. Here in America, the ability to be open with your faith is much less than what it used to be. The nation of Turkey, it's a much more restrictive environment now than what it was just a few years ago. And so we need to magnify that ministry. We need to understand the message. Okay. The best way that I can convey this is with my understanding of singing. Now, I love to sing. I love to worship. I've led worship at our church. I'm very thankful that Heidi Andriak is our worship leader, and that she is able to do that, so I can focus on other areas like preaching the word. But when I did lead worship, it was one of those things where if I didn't know the music, if I didn't know the words, everybody else could sense the lack of confidence that I had in where I was supposed to be going. Too many people here in America are having their faith and their confidence in the Word of God watered down. There is an all-out assault on biblical values here in America, and they are more than happy to win that battle one person at a time over decades to get people to no longer believe the Word of God. But you and I, if we will be persuaded of it, you know what? My daughter, she came back from Belize on her missions trip, and she was just so impacted by getting to be on that missions trip and do ministry and you know, without sharing details, I will tell you what she said in general, and that is, when you have been involved in ministering to people, a lot of the other day-to-day activities that you find yourself in just lose their importance. And so I want to ask you today, has God communicated to you, has he taught you the importance and the urgency of communicating the message, not just across the globe, not just in a foreign land, but to your neighbors? You see, you never know. We had, in the past year, my wife and I had two young ladies that we were familiar with, both of them in their 30s, and both of them woke up one morning and never saw another sunrise. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're just not. Verse number 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And a lot of times we don't want to go through those faith-building, muscle-building, intellect-building, knowledge-building concepts. But in God, it really is a step-by-step process. Could God transform in an instant and make somebody from an unbeliever to a powerful messenger of the gospel just like that? Absolutely. But in his word, he says, don't do this for a novice because it will be bad for them in the long run. Okay? And so it's not whether or not you're young or whether or not you're old. It is how much experience you have. Most people, when they read through the book of Acts, they don't really put the timeline in there. They see Paul as a persecutor of the church, has a Damascus Road experience, gets ministered to by Ananias in the city of Damascus, gets miraculously delivered, and then the next thing you know, they find that he is traveling with Barnabas and preaching the word. What they don't realize is that there are years and decades of growing in the faith in between his conversion and that process. I had a person that I was encouraging to go to school to get training. They wanted to go to the mission field, and I said, "You need to go to school. You need to get your training." And they said, "You don't understand. The timing is so short that we don't have time to go get that training and precept upon precept and line upon line." And you know, I'm thankful they're in the body of Christ, but they never made it to the mission field, and they never got the training. And I'm telling you, don't despise those early steps. You see, what God is doing in teaching us those elementary principles is he is developing in us faithfulness. When he was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, he said, "I'm going to teach you how to war." There were things that he was going to, he said, "I'm going to identify to you whether you can obey the simplest instructions and not just the big instructions." When Naaman was healed of leprosy, he was insulted because God's act of obedience for him in order to bring the healing that Naaman so desperately wanted was to go dip seven times in a river that he considered inferior to the rivers of his home country. And thankfully, he had a messenger who was there and said, "If God had told you to do something great, you would have done it. And now that he has told you to do this simple thing, why would you be insulted? It is about the obedience." So I don't know where you are, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You know, if you're a high school graduate, you never went to high school, you never went to college, whatever. In reality, the Christian life is not based on chronology. It is based on how quickly you are willing to grasp the concepts that God wants to teach you in His Word and develop faithfulness in your life. I used to be a teacher when I was in Texas. I taught 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. It was a PACE program, a school. And you could, I taught 4th, 5th, and 6th grades. I taught math, English, social studies, history, and science. I believe those were the five core subjects. And so I had kids in all these different classes, and I was there just to help them navigate through the process, and they could go on their own pace. Now, the good news was that this: if you were slow, you weren't losing the ability to master the topic because the teacher was going too fast. You went on your pace. On the other hand, if you grasped it very quickly, you just progressed. And you know, our pastor's son there had taken not just the minimal number of courses, he had taken every course that was available throughout the curriculum in the school, and had graduated by the time he was 16 or 17. He was already in college and is a lawyer to this day, a fine lawyer, just a brilliant, brilliant young man. But it was because he said, once I grasp this concept, it's going to prepare me. It's a prerequisite for the next concept. And so today I want to ask you, have you understood the precept that without God, you're hopeless, you're bound in your sins, and without God, people around us have a destiny of an eternity that nobody wants for them. There, once we have that, then we understand the value of the Word and the value of grasping the holiness of God. Today, no matter where you are at, I pray that you would say, God, help me to grasp the concept that you have for me at this level so that I can demonstrate faithfulness, that I can be entrusted with something more. What about you? What about you? Would you consider yourself faithful? Okay, that's one question. The second question is, would God deem you faithful at that level? That's the better question. That's the better question. You want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I pray today, Lord, that every one of us would be stirred in our spirit, that we would be quick to hear, quick to learn, quick to understand, and that we would be quick to faithfully obey what you have commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.